adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And it's just me and the good doctor tonight.
And the love that sits between us.
That's right. Not had a lot of time, a lot of us time in. Drew's been traveling a little bit. We've had some guests on the show. We always enjoy it when we have a little less time.
And then you're going to abandon me again as of tomorrow?
I might be in. I might be in.
If you, there's no way you're coming in.
I might
tomorrow.
Be in. I have to get
if you're
hernia.
Coming
in,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hernia operation.
I'm doing the double hernia surgery, which Drew got done some months back.
And, oh, yeah.
Cried like a schoolgirl, by the way. Drew cannot wait for me to be...
I'm only curious to see how you...
You can't wait. You can't wait for the pain. I don't care.
I'm more curious how you're going to react to it than anything. I really am.
Here's the whole thing about me. I'm not a lot of man. I just don't care. They gave me the MRI thing today. The nurse came back. She looked at me and she said...
MRI?
Not the MRI, the EKG.
Yeah.
They gave me the EKG, hooked the things up to your heart and the feet and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And the nurse came back. She said, do you exercise excessive amounts? And I said, no, not really. You have like almost no heart. Your heart rate's 44.
Oh, wow.
I said, I just don't care.
You're just not alive.
I'm not really alive. That's as serious. I don't exercise. I'm not living. You understand? I'm like an Indian who's gone up to the mountain to die. I'm ratcheting it down.
Doesn't that fit with things I've said before about your parasympathetic tone, which is what slows your heart rate? My heart rate's too high. My sympathetic tone's up.
Yeah, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but 44 is low.
My engine's runs. Yours barely, not even idle.
And also, I think they figure, you know, this is the day before surgery. You're in a hospital. It's supposed to be
44 is crazy.
We're supposed to ratchet it up. Yeah, I know. But part of it is they think it should even be ratcheted up a little. There should be some anxiety here because you're going to go through a procedure. And by the way, I just had a procedure done about a week and a half ago. I'm starting to feel like one of the Gabor sisters. You know, I'm just going in and having procedures. But here's the thing, too. If you're not nervous, they'll do their damnedest to make sure you're nervous. It happens every time. It's like, you're pretty nervous about tomorrow? No, not really. I'm fine. Good, because a lot of people are nervous, and with good reason. And I'm not that nervous. Well, don't you want to know? No, just listen. Tell me where to sign and put me under. I'll be fine. And if I'm not, then I'm not. I'll be complaining a lot. So went to the hospital today. Got all the got the blood test. First off, I know there's not a lot of nurses that speak real good English left in the city of Los Angeles, California. But it's now to the point where I'm not sure what they're saying. I sort of understand what they're doing because a nurse, half of it is language and the other half is sort of shuffling you around. Yes. Like, you know, they're like, you sit here and take... And give me, and they're starting to pull up your sleeve, yes. You know, and they're putting their finger in your butt, and yes. They're swabbing you down, and you take it, and you hold it, and it's like, I realize she could be a Sunni Indian. I have no idea really what she's saying.
Right.
I can see what she's doing. We've both been through the dance enough. I'm just going to sit here. She's going to draw a little blood. She's going to swab me down with a little cotton. But I really have no idea what she's saying. And she's picking me up and saying that, you know, here and I'm just sort of moving in the direction she's pushing me. But it's really a dance. It's not dinner and a conversation.
We're out on the floor. This is the chest X-ray part.
No, this is not this is the drawing blood. Of the blood and the EKG. I really realize I have no idea what the woman is saying. It's hard to tell. Is it Filipino? Is there an Eastern Indian mixed in? I don't know what the nationality is. All I know is I have no idea what the woman is saying. She seems nice. I'm sure if we're in her country, we'd be thick as thieves. Right now, I have no idea what I'm doing, but because she's just sort of leading me around,
you don't care anymore. Your heart rate's 44.
I'm a heart rate 44. I'm ready to die.
Yeah,
I'm just going to sit here, take your blood, take all of it. By the way, take all of it. I don't need it. But I just thought to myself, what is it about nurses and pharmacists where you don't have to speak a goddamn lick of English? And of all the professions, you know, I got guys at my house working at the house. The English isn't so great. That's fine. They're putting down irrigation. They're putting soaker hoses in the ground and sweating copper pipe.
Yeah.
That's fine. You're drawing blood. You're filling out paperwork. Yeah. You're doing workups on people. You're giving them medication.
Well, where it's
scarier, shouldn't there be some English involved with that process?
Where it's scarier, the folks giving the orders don't speak the tongue that they speak. And that's where I get scared, because you're only as sort of effective as your weakest link.
It, yeah.
And you're trying to express yourself in the middle of the night, and it's not being heard. It's really scary. I feel like
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Then I went to the waiting room to go wait for the nurse, and sat me down. Well, here's the other thing too. It's like somehow they figure out what it is you dislike. What does Adam? What wouldn't you like the most? And that's what they're. Okay, what's on TV? Zoom, the show Zoom, which made for retarded 4-year-old.
Yeah.
The kid. And by the way, the one of every nation: the Asian kid, the black kid, the white kid. They're all holding hands and they're talking about the color yellow for 20 minutes. And I'm just sort of sitting there staring at programming that's made for 4-year-olds. You know, and I pick up the remote. I'm doing my best at nothing with the remote. And I thought, couldn't put it on CNN. There's nothing. How about just some Fox News or something? No, I gotta watch Zoom. Yeah. I have to be tortured.
Did they put you in a gown yet? No,
with Zoom. No gown yet. Watching Zoom with a overflowing basket of saltines right next to me, just saltines. And I thought, this is great. I get to watch programming that's made for 4-year-olds and eat crackers that are made for 3-year-olds. This is great. And by the way, do we have to cater to the lowest common denominator at the hospital? It's like, yes. Well, there may. Now, mind you, the average age of the person that was around me, 62.
Yeah.
But we got programming that's made for 4-year-old just in case on the off chance a 5-year-old may stumble into the. How about screw the 5-year-old? Let's put the Spice Channel on. I mean, everybody around there's not. I was the youngest guy. Here was it. Age 40 to age 63. That was every single person.
It's a good point.
We're all sitting there watching Zoom.
Not only
and
that,
eating saltines.
You may have the captain of industry in the hospital with you.
Yeah, yet where's the Jell-O?
Designed for the homeless people.
I know.
Really. Yeah.
I got Lee Iacocca next to me. He's having some green Jell-O. We're watching Zoom, and he's enjoying some saltines.
Yeah.
Through a crazy straw.
Yeah.
In a spillless pouch with some orange drink in it. Like, yeah, is everyone retarded who goes out? Is there no adults? Hey, what about the English-speaking adults with money? We don't want to watch something? That's what it is. It's like, you never know when a 5-year-old's going to come through. Yeah. Yeah, okay, there's one for every 545-year-olds with a degree.
Yeah.
But a homeless guy could come in here, and he may enjoy mindless television that's really made up of just colorful objects moving in random. Yeah, how about the people that are paying?
And by the way, those guys don't mind those people that don't speak English, and they don't mind whatever.
Yeah, who decided that hospitals should be geared toward retards, 5-year-olds, and indigent homeless people who are really just so coked out of their brain they don't even know where they're. They've been huffing copier toner for the last 20 years and eating out of a dumpster. I have no idea. What about the 40-year-old guy who actually has two brain cells rubbed together, an insurance card, and he's wearing a pair of Docs? How about him? Maybe he wants to watch a little CNN. Maybe he'd like a Triscuit. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, if you get Jews, it's in a box, and it's got the word drink on
Jews
it.
In
you
a
know,
box?
Jews in a box.
Jews in a box.
Juice. If you get juice.
Juice.
If you get juice.
Jews. Jews in a box.
If you get juice. It's in a box.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing that comes in a glass. You're sucking out of everything. Like, so it's like, you know what it is? It's nutrition / nap time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's kindergarten.
At the kindergarten.
Yeah, yeah. Nursery school.
Shh.
Yeah, yeah.
Sit down.
You're supposed to revert to that kind
sit,
of thing.
Sit yeah, down. Yeah. Here's a little pouch.
Don't you revert a little bit, too?
Here's a pouch.
You become sort of passive.
Here's a pouch of purple liquid.
Yeah.
Here's some purple liquidy pouch stuff. Here's some. Watch some Zoom. Here, put this sheet on that ties it. Relax. Really? How about a little something for the people over 20? Nothing? Okay. Fine. Yeah, you're right. Look, we will cater to the lowest common denominator. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there watching Zoom and eating saltines and drinking Sunny D like a retard.
Nice.
Yeah. Nothing in the back. By the way, what's the procedure going to cost? What is it, $8,000, $10,000? How about you pop out a little OJ? Have a little fresh squeeze. And maybe a finger sandwich. Have a little deli. Have a little platter. And it'll be nice.
Some bagels.
Have a little bagel. Get some lox. How about you slice up some melon and some kiwi? That sounds good. That would be good.
Get some coffee. How about that?
No, here's a little sack. Here's a sack of purple liquid. You suck it out of the straw like you're a retarded guy. Don't let your nightgown fall off. Here's your crackers. Watch your Zoom. Look, they're spelling the word box. Watch. Look, B-O-A. You watching?
Just like what we serve you in.
Yeah. Here's some Jell-O. Okay, is there an adult hospital? Drew, what's going on with the hospital? They not serve adults? Like, you want me to fill the paper out with a crayon? And there's pictures of everything all the time. Screw the kids. Don't worry about the kids. Put the kids in the kids' wing. Have the adult wing with the actual food and the non-Jello and the regular stuff.
No, that's going to be the homeless stuff.
All right.
Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. The saltines and the pouch of grape.
There we go.
It's purple fluid. It's got a lot of sugar in it. Oh, but believe me, when I saw that bundle of saltines and then had to talk to the nurse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Don't think there wasn't a trip where I actually got up. Got the saltine, turn it over. It's like back of the saltine cracker, by the way, triglycerides, sodium, glucose, tolerant, partially hydrogenated soybean oil. Yeah. It's everything. I mean, really, rat poison is the only thing that's not listed on there.
Nicole?
Yeah, hi.
There we go.
No food worse for man than a saltine. That's the only thing they have to eat.
In the hospital, yeah.
Yeah. Or you could get the grape. You could get the corn syrup with purple corn syrup. Here you go. Take the goofy straw. Take the retard straw. Jesus Christ. Where's the adult hospital?
Nicole.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. I'm calling because I wanted to know about laparoscopy. I have a bent fallopian tube that's stuck behind my uterus.
Wow, Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And my doctor, she wants to do a laparoscopy to find out to fix it and to find out that it might be caused by endometriosis. And I was just wondering about it. And my boyfriend, he's really scared. He thinks that it's really bad. He looked up stuff on the internet and he's
laparoscopies
really
are routine procedures, okay?
Yeah.
Very, very common. It's just a way of looking in and seeing what's going on. If you by an ultrasound actually have an anatomic deformity, then you got to go in and figure out why. There's lots of reasons, infections, endometriosis, even tumors sometimes.
You go in, you get the Highlights magazine, you look
purple
for
liquid.
You look for where's Waldo, you get the crayon coloring. It's great.
But that
it's
procedure great. Is a not a big deal at all.
Okay. So it's safe and I don't have anything to worry about, really?
Well, it's a surgery, but they're done a very common procedure.
Let me say this.
More common than the procedure Adam's going to get. Much more common than the procedure Adam's going to get tomorrow.
Let me say this, too. I give a rat's ass about this procedure. I'm asleep. I don't care if I die on the table.
You know, it's interesting. Let me tell you, you'll feel great afterwards. And then the S will hit the fan, like about middle of the night.
Yeah, I'll be in pain. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing too. Let me say this. Here's the thing that dentist's office and doctor's office and most offices don't have: no car magazines. There were 300 magazines on photography.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is another one of those things. One of the doctors was into digital photography, right. So there's 26 publications on digital photography.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's guys in their 80s that just were actually eating the magazine. they actually thought it was a matzah cracker.
Yeah.
Like digital photography to 83-year-old. Yeah. He thinks that you need flash powder.
Right.
And you need that bar that holds a guy's head steady. And then you take pictures of guys in stovepipe hats with the flash powder. So digital photography is just tons of digital photography magazines, tons of these like home and garden. Not one car magazine.
Right.
But what is it about the hospital, by the way? Is it considered lowbrow or something? And look, I'm not saying you don't need Lowrider magazine. I don't need some, Vato on there with a tat and some chick with her boobs hanging out. But just get the car and driver.
Yep.
Shouldn't there be?
I'm with you.
Just put one car magazine out there.
Yeah.
Why? What is it with hospitals that they don't? There's never a car magazine.
You're right.
There's 70 magazines. There's just not a car one. There's four on photography and three on laptop computers. No car? Aren't car magazines popular? I mean, shouldn't there be one?
Reading. People don't think about that as reading material.
But you
put the Newsweek, the Time.
You got six on photography. How about you go five on photography and put a road and track out there?
What they don't mind the pictures of are the sort of interior design books.
Tons.
You get that.
Tons.
You get the
tons
country
of the
living.
Red, there's that. Oh, and it's the crappy one. It's like, how to build a gingerbread house in 7 years.
Yeah.
It's like, cake decorating on a budget. It's like, really? Give me another saltine. Put the Zoom on. Give me the book on cake decorating. I'm gonna kill myself. Hey, do we have a good anesthesiologist? Good. I want him to kill me.
Painlessly. Mind you. Nick.
Stupid. Yeah, you're right. It's not even a stupid. It's not this old house, the book. It's not something that's got anything to do with building or tools or anything. No. It's about cake decorating and building gingerbread houses.
What's up, Nick?
What's going on in these hospitals, Drew?
Adam's nervous about his surgery. Can you tell?
Hello.
Outrage.
He's nervous about his surgery. What's up, Nick?
I was just wondering. My girlfriend, when she orgasms, just has like this insane amount of fluid that comes out.
It's all kinds.
Mm-hmm. Almost abnormal.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by abnormal?
Well, like she could fill my swimming pool with it or something.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
And,
well, what do you think it is? You think it's urine?
Well, no. Like at first I thought it felt like it was, but I mean, I could tell, after like paying attention that it wasn't. And I mean, she has multiple orgasms, not all at once, but like every 20 seconds pretty much. And every time it's just this like massive amount of fluid.
And this is a problem? It's a problem.
No.
All right. His connection's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. It is what it is.
It's really hurt. You're not going to change it. Maybe a progesterone agent will sort of dry up a little bit. Sometimes taking a birth control pill with extra high potency progesterone will dry things up a bit.
Really?
But why do you want to do that to her? She's functioning not just normal, but extra normally. It's good.
Right.
It's a good thing. Relax.
Yeah. Well, I know, Drew, you as a man of extreme, exquisite, unbridled passion, say it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. I'm a little
as a man with a 44 heartbeat who's waiting to die.
And a vagal tone that's unsurpassed.
Yes.
It's a hassle. I'm sure it's a hassle, right?
Month number 8 of the relationship gets to be a hassle.
I could see the hassle part, but I'm a little outraged at the sort of ew part that I kind of get from these guys.
Are you male or female?
Are you some sort of
he's bragging.
Eunuch? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he's bragging a little bit, too.
That's what I thought, but there's no question.
I didn't know women were capable of...
Yeah, but he's
just yapping.
Yeah.
All right, look, here's the point. Here's why we're not wasting our time with Nick. There's a bogus part of it. There's a braggart part of it. And also, really, there's nothing we can do about it. That's her.
But by the way, if you want to know the essence of a bogus call, I didn't know women were capable of this.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
You didn't know, and yet your girlfriend been doing this for 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
How much convincing did you need? The day after she did it the first time, he was on the internet and found out what it was called, and he's probably heard it on this show 3,000 times. Yes. Jackie?
Yeah.
26?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I just came up with my 7-year anniversary of being put in the hospital for overdosing on acid. Mm-hmm. And they told me then that I was supposedly bipolar. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered if the acid could have just made me have like a false reading, like then diagnosed me wrong.
Yeah, it's possible. It's very common for drug addicts to be misdiagnosed as other psychiatric conditions.
Okay.
Drug use can masquerade as any psychiatric condition known. Now, LSD doesn't typically cause bipolar features, but then if you were completely psychotic, you'd taken a large dose, it's almost no telling how you might have manifested.
Yeah, I did a whole bunch, and I went on a trip for like almost 2 weeks, and mm-hmm. I landed in the hospital, and they had to give me like high doses of tranquilizers to get me out of it. And then mm-hmm. when I was discharged, because I only stayed for 72 hours, because that's the mandatory, they diagnosed me with Depakote and Haldol.
Are you staying on the Depakote?
I stopped taking it. I did it for like 30 days just to like kind of get normal because my dad wanted me to be on it, and then I stopped and I haven't done it.
You've been okay since?
Well, I've had moments and episodes where I've had to go to the doctor and got put back on Depakote again. But
all right, so which is the other side to this, which is that not only can drug addiction masquerade as another condition, it can cause other conditions, and it can precipitate. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you may have a predisposition that these drugs bring out, or it can actually injure the brain and cause things like bipolar or manic depression.
Yeah. Okay.
So in either case, it sounds like you need to be on meds.
Do you think so? Ever since I've gotten out of the hospital, I've done quite well. I have a job.
All right.
I mean, I work.
Yeah, but you've needed to be on Depakote intermittently, and probably you ought to be on something chronically.
Was that your kid in the background?
Yeah, it's my nephew. He's trying to go to sleep.
All right.
I was just wondering, because sometimes when I go through like the peak periods of up and down, I feel like I can do it myself. Is that a normal thing for a person who's...
That's a normal thing for bipolar patients to think, and it usually causes them a good deal more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
People are much more effective, much happier, and have less consequence when they're properly under control.
All right. Nurse told me no liquids after midnight.
Yeah.
I thought, wait a minute. I got to do some boozing when I get home.
Oh, yeah. How are you going to deal with that?
How am I going to do it? Well, here's my problem.
We can't have you in alcohol withdrawal by tomorrow morning.
Let me explain my problem with all the pussy lawyers out there who are basically destroying this planet. I now don't believe anything that anyone says to me about anything.
Yeah.
So when they say no drinking past whatever, I take everything with like 5 grains of salt. I'm always like,
Let's put it this way. Here you go.
Well, no, here's what I said to her. I said, look, no drinking, no fluid, no food past midnight.
That's right? If you're going to be operated at 8 in the morning.
I'm the Perry Mason of patients. I said, yeah, you're going at 8, I'm going at 2. So therefore, it needs to be prorated. We need to add. Now, if there's no, you need, basically what you guys need is a good 10 hours of no whatever.
Yes.
So if I'm going at 2, I got till 4 a.m. And then it was funny. She said, okay, clear liquids. And I started thinking, let's see, vodka, gin, vermouth. Is vermouth clear? I could do vermouth. Okay. I started thinking about clear.
Your heart rate goes to 52 now.
No. Oh, it jumped up to 52. Yeah. But, so now this is, thank you all you horrible vermin lawyers out there, by the way, for now making us ignore everything. Now it's like, like I said, secondhand smoke, first rate killer. Now it means nothing to me. Like I know, no eating after whatever, all the rules,
left hand turn,
there'll be no, there's an arrow, all the stuff, all your retarded pussy rules now I don't believe any of them. Eventually it's going to get me into trouble because there'll be one I should have followed. But now it's like all the warning labels, all the waivers, all the sign this, all that. It's like it doesn't even mean anything to me anymore.
How come that slippery slope isn't one they ever talk about?
They never talk
about
that. The one
where all your privileges, your ability to move through life is being rescinded.
No, they're worried. They're worried about the slippery slope where
you have rights, where you can act like an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a slippery slope.
Slippery slope, yeah. Yeah, if you have advanced, if you're in the advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's disease, you're scared you're going to
suffocate
on your own saliva in the middle of the night and die a horrible death. You can't go humanely and with dignity by flipping the switch on some device that Dr. Kevorkian goes, no, he invented, because that's a slippery slope. That's a slippery slope? You having control of your own destiny is a slippery slope? Well, if Kevorkian, who's by the way in prison right now in Michigan and costing us millions and millions of dollars for all the court things, that 85-year-old guy's rotting away, he's a doctor, he's spending us for his last days in prison. And by the way, and I know we got to go to break, but nobody gives a rat's ass about this. We just sit around and talk about slippery slope. People can't die with a little goddamn dignity in this country. And yeah, oh yeah, slippery slope. Well, first off, Kevorkian's playing God. Oh yeah, he's playing God. What about the guys hooked up to 1,000 different machines to keep him alive 10 years longer than he needed
to? Know,
that's not God keeping people alive. That's playing God.
That used to be, doing anything medically used to be considered interfering with God's will. Like giving vaccines was interfering with God.
More religious retardism.
But that was the point. Is at one time that was a way of thinking about these things. So, How about we just come back to reality?
And look, I'm saying the slippery slope. Yeah, if Kevorkian lets the guy commit suicide, let him flip the switch to commit suicide. Who's dying of Lou Gehrig's disease and could no longer communicate and craps himself, is confined to a wheelchair that he powers with the straw they gave me to drink the purple crap out of it. The thing, like I'm a retard. If that happens, next thing you know, Drew, your 11-year-old goes in for a physical for Pee Wee football. The doctor puts a pillow over his head and smothers him right on the gurney.
What's the brand?
Nothing. Nothing.
Camps with that.
Good. He walks scot free. Total impunity. Slippery slope. Yeah, they got a real good point. I'm fired up right now, man.
Well, you're anxious. You're
all right. I'm anxious. Am I heart rate? I start
45. All right.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. We're both just sitting here getting outraged at Jack Kevorkian, the doctor who assisted people in their suicides. Terminally ill people, by the way, is rotting away in jail. And that if you want to die, you can't really die if you're in prison, if you're in a hospital in America. And what's wrong with that simple dignity, by the way? Shouldn't you be able to do that? In my world, you could be completely healthy and want to die. I got no problem with that. That's your decision. I don't understand why the ultra-religious people are the ones that are vehemently against this. And first off, how... I'm looking for the right word here, but talk about the height of arrogance. There's somebody who's in exquisite pain. They're being tortured every day, every hour, every breath, every step getting out of bed. Their life is torture for them.
Yeah.
How arrogant is it of you were healthy, of sound of mind, sound body, telling that person they can't end their life, forcing them to go on with their daily miserable ritual of defecating on themselves, of having, you know, fluid drained out of them, of, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, but life is sacred.
I got to go windsurfing. You rot in your craftmatic bed over there in a pile of your own fecal matter.
I think it's because by the way,
I'm a very religious guy. I'm exquisitely religious.
A, people don't believe that they are biological and have no empathy for what that experience is and have never seen it. A. B, lost track of the fact that religion has been very ambivalent about this whole process forever. As I said, it used to be, don't interfere with God's will at all. Let all disease take its course. That's God's will.
Right.
That's God's will.
Right. Now
now we're going to intervene and keep things going eternally because life is
The guy's hooked up to an oxygen machine. He's hooked up to every apparatus known to man. But if you unplug it, you're playing God. Really? Think about the retarded logic involving that. All right. Let's keep going here. I'm going into the joint tomorrow myself. I told the nurse I'm bringing my own crackers.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to shame them.
Bring some Nilla wafers. Bring an array of crackers.
I'm going to shame them. Yeah, I might bring one of those like assortment boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Maybe bring in a little cheese. And you know they do this one too. They go like, what do we need the saltines for? What are the world's crappiest cracker? Really? Aren't we in enough pain? Do we need to be punished? And they're like, Well, the saltines are very easy on people's. Yeah. Okay. So if I had a
that was what I gave you last.
If I had a Triscuit, what would I do? Just projectile vomit all over the place. If I ate something that tasted good, what is it? Is it has to taste crappy in order to? And really, use that logic. Why don't I just eat some dog feces? That tastes bad. Is it the worse it tastes, the better it is for you?
That's easier to digest.
Easy. Easy, yeah. And a wheat thin.
Yeah.
Wheat thin. That's like what? Eating diatomaceous earth that's mixed with carpenter's glue? Is that what that is?
Right.
I think I can handle a wheat thin. But I didn't have my bowel pulled out, by the way. I had it stuffed in. All right, what's going on? What happened with Kevorkian?
I'm just reading. He's 82 now. No, he's 79 now.
79.
Not a big part. He's 681.
He's 81, and he's rotting in jail in Michigan. Fantastic, and nobody cares but us.
Supreme Court.
No. All right. Jillian.
Yes.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Oh, yeah.
What
it's
do you
a good
got,
one,
baby?
Too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, looking forward to that. Let's hear our theme song, Anderson, please.
Germany or Florida?
Here we go.
Hold on, Anderson. I think that's one of my least favorite ones. Do you have any of the like Tori Amos ones or Pink or any of that other stuff?
Germany or Florida?
That's Pink. Do we have a Tori Amos?
Germany or Florida?
Yeah, that's nice because it's Ebony, right?
Germany or Florida? It's Germany or Florida?
That's C. Everett Koop.
Yeah.
All right.
Germany or Florida?
Yeah, Michelle Branch. All right. Go ahead, Jillian.
He's at the Thumb Correctional Facility, Adam.
What's that?
He's at the Thumb Correctional Facility for murdering a man with end-stage Lou Gehrig's disease.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he murdered him. He didn't, maybe.
Murdered him.
Yeah. Maybe the Lou Gehrig's disease is really what slowed him down. Wouldn't you say?
No, how dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. What would that guy be doing? Yachting right now if it wasn't for Kevorkian? That's right. It's important to get him locked up. Those, them and the guys who smoke the weed. We got to get them locked up, too. All right, Jillian.
Okay.
25.
Man tries to sell girlfriend's daughter on eBay.
Oh, boy.
A get-rich-quick scheme backfired on a couple when a man put his girlfriend's daughter up for auction on eBay. Mm-hmm. He posted a picture of the girl along a description saying, "You can play with her," a line adding a level of creepiness excessive even for a child-selling situation. Mm-hmm. A concerned eBay user saw the auction, presumably while in the market for little girls, and contacted local police.
Well,
the auction would shut down after a few hours as the policies of eBay forbid the selling of children or children parts.
And as I children parts.
Oh, really?
And as I remember, it only got up to like $150, right? Let's say that.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, hold on a second. There's an interesting part of that story where it said the guy who ratted him out was presumably shopping for young kids. Well, read that part again. That part I found interesting.
A concerned eBay user saw the auction, presumably while in the market for little girls, and contacted local police.
We call that journalistic excess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way,
it's not a real newspaper. It's like a magazine. But
okay, but let me just say this. If you're in the market, if you're in the market and you're on eBay and you're in the market to pick yourself up like a nice 9-year-old chick, why do you report it?
Yeah,
I can't figure out how the person found it.
No, the person, somebody stumbled. Somebody was just cruising eBay, found it, and did it.
And reported
it. It's just the evil newspaper or magazine that decided that this guy was looking. Oh, he wanted a blonde.
Yeah.
He's outraged. This was a Korean kid, so he went ahead and ratted him out.
I'm sure.
So anyway, it's Florida. It's Florida.
Drew says Florida?
That's what I remember.
Feels Floridian. We're Florida. Jillian?
Yes.
Florida?
Germany?
This one was in Florida.
Drew, why do I listen to you?
I could have sworn this one was in Florida.
No, it was not. Jillian?
No, it was Germany.
I know. We're going to send you out a windbreaker.
Good times.
Yeah,
long-time
good
listener, first-time caller, by the way.
Thanks for calling, baby doll. What are you doing up there in Santa Cruz?
Hanging out, trying to get a decent job.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to college then?
Yeah, I graduated. Theater arts.
How many years ago?
Working in retail.
Hard to leave, huh?
4 years ago, though, right?
Yeah, 2002.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. I could never leave.
Okay. Okay, see, let me explain.
Yeah, that's why my kids are not going to Santa Cruz or Santa Barbara or San Diego.
None of that starts with San.
Yeah. San Francisco, San Diego.
San's all bad.
It's all good. It's too good.
It's too good.
They can retire at a San.
No, no.
They retire at San, whatever.
Yeah. They need to go to, like, Wyoming. Yeah. I mean,
Seattle.
Here's
Indian names.
Even
Indian
Seattle's
names. Indian names, but not Spanish names.
Here's the thing.
Right?
You need to go. Okay, let me explain something. I have a lot of friends who went to school in Santa Barbara.
Oh.
And
have you heard from them since they left?
They never got out.
No.
They graduated with, like, engineering degrees. They opened head shops. And that's it. Like burrito kiosks.
And you hear from Jillian here, Santa Cruz is the same thing.
No, you don't leave.
San Francisco is similar. At least you live in a city.
At least there's a San Diego.
Oh, yeah, same
thing. Forget about Santa Cruz. Forget about Santa Barbara. San Diego, at least, you'll probably get out of there. It's not that great.
Really?
You go to Santa Barbara. Imagine you're going to school in Santa Barbara. It's a picturesque
utopia,
sleepy, you know, waterfront Spanish architecture. It's the sun is shining 350 days out of the year. I mean, people come from Japan to visit that place,
and you're there with a bunch of young.
You're living there. Your time is spent split up between, you know, margaritas and great Mexican food in the city. Watching bands, and then it's out longboarding out on the, you know.
And then trolling State Street.
California surf out there. Yeah, yeah. Where are you going? Now, by the way, what are you supposed to do? Then get out of there and go to work for your cousin's print shop in downtown L.A. or Hawaiian Gardens or something? Are you kidding me? You're not leaving. But you know what? Maybe it's not such a horrible thing. Maybe the joke's on us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've been in utopia. I got friends. They should have graduated in 86. Some of them did. They're still there.
It doesn't matter whether they graduate or not. Who can tell?
They're enjoying themselves. Yeah, I don't know why they bothered going. But, yeah, Santa Cruz, San Clemente. Stay away from the sands. I don't even know if there's a college there. Just stay away from stuff. You go to a place. You need to go to a place where it's college that has, first off, has bitter winter.
But, yeah, let's be really clear.
Bitter winter.
The things you absolutely must avoid are the Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara.
Right.
Sands come next. San Diego, mm-hmm. San Francisco, San whatever.
Right.
But Santa, no.
Right.
No.
And
no.
You want to send your kids to a college that's...
Where it gets cold.
Where it is miserable. Like bitter, bitter winters. And they just can't get out of there fast enough. They're dying to go back to the city.
Oh, everything else. Not just going back, but everything else seems great. I'm delighted for it.
Imagine you're in Santa Barbara for 4 or 5 years. Would you ever get out?
No.
Would you ever go anywhere? Why would you? All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Courtney. Wants to get 34-year-old boyfriend into domination and submission. Courtney?
Yeah.
You're into domination and submission?
Yes, I am.
You're fat. It's an interesting thing. What do you think her heart rate is?
I don't know.
Like 108.
Which one are you into? You into the domination or the submission? Hmm?
I'm a sub.
Submission.
Yes.
You a big guy?
Yes.
You got a little extra weight on you?
No. It's just something that I feel that it kind of completes me.
How tall are you?
I am about, 5'6".
5'6". And how much you weigh?
Courtney?
I think I'm beginning to lose you guys.
How much do you weigh, Courtney?
I am about 135 pounds.
About.
All right. Ooh. That's hold on. Let me do a little radio math. 5'6" took a while, and then the about, the 135. What's 2 times 3, Drew?
6.
6. Okay, 6. And then 6 and 4 is?
24.
6 and 4? Or
6 plus 4, 10.
Oh, that's 10, right. Okay, I got 5'4 and 7/16", so just a little under 5'4 and a half, 151.
Ooh.
Chunky.
Yeah. We're hold on a second, though, there, Courtney. We'll talk about the submission and domination, all that good stuff after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. All right. You ready? Ready to get back to the phones?
Yeah, there we go.
Let's see what we can do.
Well, Courtney.
Let's break it down.
I have a Courtney now.
Courtney?
Yeah.
You're 21.
So, have you asked your boyfriend about this?
I've hinted.
Hold on, Drew. You got to reset.
Well, she'll set it. She'll set it once.
I've hinted towards it and mentioned a couple pieces of literature, like Story of O. And, you know, he kind of joked about it, like, oh, very, you know, that sounds very cute. And it's like, well, okay, I still don't know how, you know, how he'd take it. I've had a couple guys just plain walk out.
Reset, would you, goofball?
Courtney has a boyfriend, and she's into submission, dominatrix and submission. She wants to be a sub, and she's trying to figure out how to bring it up with the boyfriend. What exactly happened with the guys that left? What did you say to them?
Basically, I was very honest with them. I said, hey, you know, this is what I'm looking for.
What? What did you say? What are you looking for?
I said, hi, you know, this, you know, I have basically come across, you know, and to decide that I am a submissive. I am looking for somebody to, you know, be in a dominating and submissive relationship with me.
How about, let me ask you this, Courtney.
Submissive.
Courtney, quiet down. Does this have to only take place in the bedroom, or can this bleed into all facets of our life?
I'm looking for whole facets.
What would it, you know, if I said, like, hey, crack me a cold one, and then why don't you put a coat of carnauba wax on the Z, and let's go, Mike Chanel, let's get moving now.
How'd that go?
Would that work? Because I could get down with that.
I don't actually, in the right situation, you know, with somebody who, you know, treats a submissive properly and shows them the care, ask a submissive nice enough, or not even nice enough.
No.
That's not being submissive.
I don't say please before I crack the whip on your ass. I tell you,
that if you find the right submissive, they'd do it. I probably would for somebody I'd care about enough.
You would. Okay. Here's why guys. Okay, there's two reasons why guys get out of these kinds of relationships. Okay, well, the third's to wait usually. Okay. The first one is guys want sex.
Yeah,
they're not so interested in the sort of masquerade part of it.
Yeah,
they like to get laid. That's number one. They do go along with things, but usually they just go along because it means they're getting laid.
Absolutely.
And sometimes even pretend like they like it, but it's
some
really...
Some guys probably do kind of like
once
it.
Once in a while, there's guys that are into it to a certain point. The other thing is it freaks them out because it smacks of some
craziness.
Larger issue that they're not getting into, but don't worry. It'll rear its ugly head at some point.
Yeah. It just gives them an instinct that they need to get out.
Our spidey sense starts tingling when chicks start talking about that kind of stuff. Makes us think you're a little bit batty, and you always are. And then number three, they're always hefty chicks.
Well, that makes it easier to walk. Let me put a little modifier on number three. It's an excuse to get out.
And
it's like, I'm looking to get out anyway, and I'm done.
Right. So, all you can do is bring it up to him. If he goes for it, fine. I got a better plan. Hopefully he doesn't go for it, and you try to find a way to have an intimate relationship without it.
Yeah, and I have had a lot of intimate relationships.
All right, good. That's it. Just get some therapy. Here's the thing. All you idiots that are into weird stuff, instead of trying to find another weirdo, so that, by the way, God forbid you two crank out a weirdo kid. Look, it's like this. If you're an alcoholic, instead of trying to find someone to drink with,
right,
find someone to get you sober.
Thank you.
Stop looking for more effed up people who don't know what they're doing and are spinning around like dreidels. Find somebody who's got a map and use that person.
Yep.
This is everyone's plan. And they don't really look at it
that way.
Well,
Adam, you're judging,
though.
You're judging.
Yeah, I'm judging because you guys are idiots.
How dare you?
I know. Everything's the same. Culture's
just different.
Everything's perfect. Nothing's
perfect.
Everything's the same. It's the same. Everything's perfect. We can't judge. No culture.
Can't judge.
It's all perfect. But the point is,
if you make that mutilation, it's beautiful.
It's the same.
It's the same.
Cannot judge. All religions are beautiful. Every one of them. Everything. Every culture. None is no one culture superior to others.
You cannot judge.
Right. We can't judge. I mean, some certain cultures put a man on the moon 40 years ago.
And
others are smacking their heads against a wall until they become bloody.
Let's apply that to all human history. Human sacrifice, can't judge.
Can't judge.
Can't judge. Because it was a beautiful culture and human sacrifice is part of it. So
cannot.
What are you going to say?
Cannot judge. And you know, Roman civilization with, you know.
Brutality. Christians up and they can't judge.
Cannot judge.
Just different.
No difference between cannibals and the Renaissance.
Can't judge.
Cannot
How could
judge.
I know? I couldn't
it's
judge.
Impossible.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
It's
to
just,
judge.
It's just different.
No, because we're all humans.
It's just different.
And everyone's the same. Okay. Here's the problem. People do judge when you want them to beat you on the ass. Yeah. They judge you to be a weirdo, and they go the other way.
Right.
So stop trying to find another weirdo and just find a therapist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
we'll take a break. We'll be back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. All right. Let's get to the phones here, buddy. What do you say now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, hold on a second. Let's break it down.
All right.
Get a hand
in. Huh?
Let's go. Hey, Chris. Clap it
come
up.
On, come on.
Break it down now. Come on now. Break it down. Get a hand in, gentlemen. Grab a knee. And remember, the helmet, not a chair. Come on. Take a knee now.
What would they say about the remember the dive and rolls and stuff like that? And they'd always have some funky thing to say about you not to.
So there's a lot
not
of
laying out.
First off, if I played 7 years of Pop Warner football, which people think is impossible, not high school and Pop Warner. I got 7 years of Pop Warner
before
in my
school.
Belt before
yeah.
high school. Yeah. So there's a couple things they do. This isn't Leisure World, gentlemen. That Leisure World was always a good one. I've never been to Leisure World. I'm sure it was a newer development back then. I don't know. I wasn't sure. By the way, Leisure World doesn't mean a lot to a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old. Leisure, the word leisure, I didn't know until I was 24. This is not Leisure World. It's like you're doing push-ups. There's a guy yelling at you.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things. The other one they used to do is you go half speed. It's when you get hurt. That was the other one too. Which like so yeah. Let me see. If I was in my car and I was going 25 miles an hour, it would be worse than going 50.
Worse than going 80.
Oh, 80.
Because that's full speed.
Oh, well, I'm just going half, you know.
That's
half,
worse.
Well, half of 50 would be
oh,
25,
I see.
That's what I'm saying.
See.
Half,
okay.
half speed. An accident
yes.
at 25 miles an hour, much worse than an accident at 50.
Yes.
So half speed. All those guys in the NFL with the torn ACLs and the horrible.
Going too slow.
Pressure,
Go too
half
slow.
Speed.
Go too slow.
Half speed. Okay. Yeah, no dog in it. And there was always a lot of stuff that was going to take place in the fourth quarter that never did. It's the fourth quarter, gentlemen. We got to really pick it up. And then the trick question one, too. Who's tired? I'm tired. Are you tired? All right. You're not in good enough shape. Then we got to do. There's that one. And then there's, hell no, we're not that good because we're going to do more jingle jangles. You know, there's no good answer to the football coach for are you tired? It's a trick question. Best thing to do, vomit and collapse. Don't say a word. Just heave
yeah,
and fall over.
Anything. Yeah, keep your mouth
yeah.
shut.
Yeah, and then a lot of also comparisons to girls. That's a big thing when you're a 9-10-year-old guy.
I'm not sure that's so PC anymore.
My daughter's got a gymnastics class. They work harder than this, gentlemen, okay?
Yeah.
Those girls bust their fanny, and you guys is that one, too.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing when they compare the chicks
yeah.
to you. When you're 9, that drives you nuts. Those are all the things I learned in Pop Warner. Army? I mean, Amy?
Army.
Hello?
Hey. Hi, Amy.
No.
Hey.
What's happening? And then they do ones like this, too. You guys getting blown out of there like S through a goose.
Oh, I never heard that one.
Oh, yes. I say the word S, but yeah.
They'd actually say it.
Yeah, they'd say S through it. Yeah, they'd say
you
the
do
S
that
word.
Anymore. You
yeah.
say stuff like that.
Yeah, and they do well. You got getting blown out of there like S through a tin horn. That's another good one. Like, huh? You're 9. Like, what? Times like kissing your sister, gentlemen. And all I could remember thinking is Kelly Gallagher.
Yeah.
Who was the sister of Dan Gallagher, who's on the team.
That'd be good.
Smoking hot.
That'd be good.
Smoking hot. And I was like, wow. This is why you shouldn't waste your breath on kids. Yeah. You shouldn't even talk to them. Because the coach is like, this gentleman, tying's like kissing your sister. We gave 80%, but we didn't. Meanwhile, Adam Carolla's like going, Kelly Gallagher, yeah, she's a good
What if she were my sister?
I'd be definitely be making out with her. Yeah. Dan, you think he's kissing her when he gets home?
Oh, geez.
If he is, that can't be a bad thing, isn't it? She's
and then your sister's face appeared.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you went, no.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, now I know what he means.
No.
All right, Amy?
Yes?
Sorry, you're 26. What's up?
Oh, she's from Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara. Yeah.
And we're talking to somebody from a parallel universe.
Yeah, that school. It's the Roach Hotel. It's the Roach Motel of schools. Students get in, but they don't get out.
Where did you leave from you entered University of California, Santa Barbara?
From
or do Ventura, you remember?
Which is about 30 minutes south.
Ventura. Have you been back? Have you seen that? Have you seen Ventura since you went to UCSB?
I grew up in Ventura, and then I went to UCSB, and then I got a job in Santa Barbara, and I've been there ever since.
There you go. She works at
hot dog on a stick.
Well, no, that's lofty. She probably does like beach rentals, like three wheel bikes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I have a real job.
Okay. All right. But the point is if you send your kid to Santa Barbara to go to college, they'll never leave.
Yeah. And my sister, actually, you'll never guess where she went.
Santa Cruz.
Yep.
Have you seen her since?
Well, she just graduated, and right now she's in an MCAT prep class. So I think she will eventually move away.
Well, she's going to go to medical school. She has to leave Santa Cruz. They don't have
to. Pretty much.
Well, here's the thing. All you parents who are thinking about either sending your kid to, UC Santa Barbara or Santa Cruz, if you save yourself some time and money, just give them some reefer and a longboard and tell them you don't have to pay rent. You just stay here. Here, smoke some reefer, do a little surfing, and we'll turn a fan on. It'd be great. All right. So, Amy. Are we right about once you go to Santa Barbara, you never go back?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. But on the other hand, who's the joke on?
Yeah.
We're in here breathing airborne particles the size of hubcaps. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I mean, it's no secondhand smoke, but we still are in the... it's ironic, by the way, too. I know I bring this up every night. They just had a study that basically said that Los Angeles is one of the worst places in the world for the breathable particles in the air. So we're about the worst. We're about as bad as you can get. It's funny that we're obsessed with secondhand smoke.
Yeah, are they talking about pollutants or about stuff coming off the desert? Because we got allergies.
They're talking about pollutants.
Yeah.
They're talking about just sort of airborne particle pollutants. Yeah, no place worse than Los Angeles.
Hey, but we've taken care of the secondhand smoke problem.
But there'll be no smoking on the beach, so we're all going to live forever.
Don't want to have the particles and smoke at them.
Right, right. Yeah, no particle discussion, just secondhand smoke discussion.
Yeah. And
I don't know when that happened. And by the way, didn't smoking used to be cool? When did it become evil? Do you know what I mean? When did everyone who smoked become bad?
Well, you signed on with the man.
You
signed on with the man's stuff if you believe the tobacco company's rhetoric and commercials. See,
they
coerced you into getting this addictive substance into your system.
Right.
And
right.
then you're the same. You're one with the man.
Right.
You are the man.
Right.
Because you're using the man's product.
Right. So there'll be no advertising that on television or sporting events or anything. Meanwhile, there's Lotto commercials running out the wazoo. that's a much better message to send to the kids.
Yeah.
Spend your extra welfare money. Yeah, the money you were going to be spending on the government subsidized cheese, you buy yourself a Lotto ticket. See if you can get lucky and get out of the hell that you've created for yourself. That's fantastic. Terry?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
When I have intercourse with my girlfriend, I can't seem to come, and she's getting worried about it.
Are you on medication?
No.
Is there any way you have orgasm?
The only way I orgasm is if I masturbate or if she gives me a blowjob.
Yeah. I mean, oh.
It's frequently, commonly called the Corolla syndrome.
Yeah. I mean, oh.
Can't judge.
But we can't judge. Let's see. Is she exceptionally lubricated?
No, she's not very lubricated.
Mm-hmm. Does she finish easily and sort of doesn't want to go on?
Oh, she's willing to go on. It's just, we've gone for about an hour and a half before, and I wasn't able to orgasm. Mm.
No medicine for you, huh? Nothing? Terry?
What?
No medical problems, no medication.
No. Yeah. No medical problems, no medication.
Well, let me get on a few things. What position are you in when you
masturbate?
Thank you.
Usually sitting down.
Sitting?
Yeah.
Like where?
Quaint.
You're on the pot? Are you on the foot of the bed? Where are you sitting?
How dare you? Both.
Yeah.
On my
by the way,
couch.
Who beats off sitting down? Where? We are on the what?
On my couch.
On the couch. You don't have to sort of rock it back
Adam.
A little.
When you describe things, you don't actually have to act
yeah,
them out.
Yeah, I do.
Come on.
I do. I mean, you're actually just sitting there on the sofa, knees bent?
Yeah.
Your heart rate's 44.
Yeah, I got a little surge happening. But anyway, here's the thing. And then you have sex, you get on top of her, right?
Yeah.
How about if she sort of you take that seated position and she...
Terry, yeah. Let me explain to you how to have an orgasm during intercourse. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down and not beating off for a change?
Yes.
Okay. You need to get used to masturbating. Instead of sitting down, lie down on your bed and straighten your legs out. Do it that way.
What if she just brings her into the position?
Quiet. Yeah. You could do it that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Do it that way. Do it that way a few times. The next time you have sex, get her on top, get into that same position, and you'll have an orgasm.
Okay.
All right. That's what it is. But there could be nothing further away from missionary than sitting on a sofa. You have a gyro in your sack, and it's all thrown off. It's like a plane that's flying upside down.
Mm.
See what I'm saying, Jerome? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's...
Just lost that one.
Here there you go. Let's talk to Michaela. Michaela? Hi.
Okay, first, Adam, mm-hmm. I think your idea on the life stuff is, but good. Sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. Anyways.
If you want to die, you should be able to die.
Right to die.
If you're sick.
Yeah.
And the idea that Jack Kevorkian, Dr. Kevorkian's in jail from 10 to 25 years when he's like 81 years old is a ridiculous waste of taxpayer money.
And yes, it is.
Thank you. And his life, by the way. And by the way, the guy's a doctor, after all. He's got a little education.
Yeah, all right, what's up? A little bit more respect.
What's up, Michaela?
Okay, my question is... if you get a blood test for STDs and you have herpes, would it show up if you're not on a breakout, or do you have to be on a breakout for it to show up?
The blood tests for herpes are fairly worthless.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And they have no relationship to the breakout.
Are they going to do a little? Are they getting better with that? Are they going to figure?
They're
something
better,
out?
But they're really only better as corroborative. They still you have to see evidence of it, and the best test is
corroborative
a culture.
Means that plus something else,
right?
It supports it.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't prove that you have herpes by any stretch.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so you got to wait for the breakout, and then you get the culture,
right?
Where they actually take the cotton swab and put it in there,
mm-hmm. Put it on a lesion.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you got herpes?
I do, but I'm not sure if my boyfriend does. He did the blood test, but it didn't show up, and I'm just asking for that reason.
All right, well, don't worry about that blood test.
He's got to wear a condom. That's the bottom line.
And listen, if we watch the commercials, you see the chick now.
You wanted to have herpes,
she's
right?
Kickboxing. Yeah. Well, it's a better life than the chick that doesn't have the herpes, because the chick that has herpes
doesn't get the kickbox.
She's like a reporter. She's on the steps of the Capitol building. She's
the one with the herpes.
Yeah, she's
on Valtrex.
She's kickboxing. Now there's a new one where the chick's on some sort of tropical vacation. She's on a bicycle. She's with her man. There's a lot of almost every commercial now is some sort of prelude to intercourse. Like the chick's sitting there and she's doing some potting. She's got some potting soil out. The guy, she's out on the porch, and the guy kind of comes up behind her and puts his arms around her. Like, listen, Drew, I don't know about you, but if I need some nookie, it's like, hey.
Break it down.
Yeah. I got a boner. What's going on? Can we get upstairs and get nude? Or, head out.
Oh, that's got to work great.
Head out and do some potting. I'll come up behind you. A lot of coming up behind.
Remember, the commercials are for women.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's somehow the chick is in the middle of doing something, and it's usually out in the yard. And by the way, I don't know how much yard work your old lady does, Drew. My old lady, not a lot. I've not a considerable
time. Women like to watch, look at magazines and watch commercials where they can imagine themselves doing these very highly idealized behaviors. You're on a desert island. You're potting.
Let me explain something. Let me explain.
Men don't like that.
If I looked out the window and saw my wife doing something in the yard, I would not have a boner. I would have a heart attack. That's the first thing I do. I would clutch my heart like Fred Sanford. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, but again, that's the point.
I can't believe she's actually doing something.
Seeing a woman working a potter's wheel, the last thing you're going to be thinking about is sex. You're letting her finish.
If I saw my wife out in the yard, no, not on a potter's wheel. They're like potting. They got soil.
Soil. Well, that immediately makes a man think of sex.
If I saw my wife doing some yard work, my first impulse, like I said, first impulse, heart attack. Second impulse, you know, invasion of body snatcher.
Yeah,
looking
yeah,
for a cocoon
him.
Underneath yeah. in the underpinning of the house with her in it.
Right.
And then number one.
Right.
That's two. Number three, look, whatever she's doing, maybe she's got a brain. So, yeah. The third CAT scan, PET scan. There's got to be some sort of tumor putting pressure on her brain.
Yeah.
Fourth impulse, okay, I'm horny. Let's let her finish with the pruning of the bougainvillea. Like, I don't want to interrupt anything. She may not be in the yard for another year. Let her finish. That's my whole thing.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting inside the house. Soon as she comes in, when she's done, that's when the sexing begins.
What do you think
I'm not going to interrupt
her. What do you think about all this direct-to-consumer marketing of medication?
I'm not sure what the commercial is.
Yeah.
You see, because it's a chick and she's on a porch and she's putting some bulbs
in a
terracotta pot and the guy comes up behind her.
Forget the herpes one.
This is for the boner medication. Like, guy's got himself a boner. She's potting. She always seems to be pretty excited that he has a boner. Like, he doesn't. Here's the thing, too. He doesn't walk out of the house with a boner. The boner's...
waiting inside.
Boner's somehow inside. He's got that on the nightstand.
Isn't the proper
Where's
wife,
the boner?
Isn't
Shouldn't
the proper wifely experience like, oh, jeez.
Oh,
like, oh, my God.
Look.
Come on. I'm so stressed. I have a headache.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll leave the gardening glove on. I'll give you a handy. That's okay? That's what you're getting. It's all right. No, it's... The glove's made out of cotton, but it's got a little rubber liner.
But since when is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sex with my balding fat husband. It's going to be huge. It's great. And you know he's going to want anals because it's been 10 years.
My God.
Yeah.
But why does
the guy have the boner? That's the question.
It's waiting inside.
Did he take the Cialis or the Nuvalis or the Neutralis or the Bonalis or the Levitra? Did he pop the pill and then go outside to hump his wife? Or is the pill waiting inside?
But in a more global sense, whatever the commercial is for, whether it's for stomach acid, I'm going to give you diarrhea, grease, diarrhea, mellitus, or diarrhea.
Yeah, or, I love that. I love the disclaimer.
Or if it's boner medicine, or if it's herpes medicine, or if it's allergy medicine, how the hell do you know what it is?
I don't know.
And this is what I find interesting about it when I'm dealing with patients. They just know the name. Oh, I want the purple pill.
Right.
They have no idea what it's for, but they've heard about it. It must be good. I've heard about it. I heard about it on Oprah.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to me. I was on birth control for 4 years before I realized
what it was.
Yeah. I just saw the commercial. I saw the patch, actually. I thought it seemed like these people are living their lives.
Yeah.
I wore it by my McKinney line.
Yeah, I mean, what does it actually do for people that
don't
have a name and a color of a pill? That papaya.
I don't know. It's the chicks. If you're under 30, you got the herpes and you're living your life.
But what does that direct? I'm just curious. That direct consumer marketing does for people. What does it really do?
Make
a company for money for drug company without people really realizing that's what they're doing.
It's just a product like anything else. It's no different than potato chips. I guess you're just trying to show people enjoying your product. And actually, they don't enjoy the product. They enjoy the life they get to have by using the product.
But the reality is that people have no idea. They can't put it in a context. And secondly, they have an aversion to using much less expensive generics because, well, that's not as good as the purple pill.
Oh, I see. Well, that's interesting.
And so it's really like,
And once and for all, generics, no difference.
No,
there's an active ingredient, and that's, if the drug doesn't have that active ingredient, then it's not that drug. And if it does, it's the same.
That's right.
All right. And see, I think people look at the generic as the difference between, you know, Oreos and Hydrox or something. Like, well, I like Frosted Flakes. I don't like the generic brand of Frosted Flakes, but this is different.
It's different.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll get back. We'll speak to Brittany, 17. She's got a 21-year-old boyfriend, wants to hang out with his ex-girlfriend. She doesn't trust him. Yeah. All right. What about this guy with white stuff coming out during
that
sex?
One. Let's do that one. Let's do that one second.
Secretes white stuff.
Because I want Chief Running Bear to deal with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'll translate.
I will translate.
All right. Chief. I thought it was Thundercloud.
Thunder Bear?
Yes.
Well, Running Bear might visit, too.
All right. All that after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Over there, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Chief Thundercloud. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. We lost that
Chief
call.
Chief Thundercloud was going to come in and do, you know, because gynecology is really one of his stronger...
What's there?
Stronger suits.
Wait, he's a shaman, Shawnee gynecologist, Navajo.
That's right. That's right. Now, did we want to bring him in?
No, we're going to touch Brittany first.
Drew translates.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, you know, Thundercloud doesn't, or Thunder Bear, whatever his name is, doesn't speak a lick of English.
No.
But thank God Drew speaks.
Fluent Shawnee Navajo.
So should we talk to Brittany over
Brittany
here?
Brittany first, and then the Running Cloud will come in.
Oh, okay.
Thundercloud.
Yeah. Brittany?
Yeah?
I think it's Thunder Bear.
Thunder Bear. Thundercloud.
Cloud Bear. Cloud Bear.
Running Bear. Cloud Bear.
Proud Cloud. Hey, Brittany?
Yes?
Yeah, you're 17. What's up?
Yeah, I've been going out with my boyfriend for like 2.5 months now, and mm-hmm. he's been liking to hang out with his ex-girlfriend for a while now. And I told him I really didn't like it.
All right, well, let's couple of beats here. First off, how long did they go out
for? They went out for a little over a year, I guess.
How long ago did they break up?
Like 5-6 months ago.
Who broke up with whom?
She broke up with him, I believe.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
And, because here's the thing. When you dump a chick and you move on as a guy...
You're not looking back.
90% of
the
time.
Most guys are sort of embarrassed / ashamed. They don't want to be around. You know,
well, let's break this down and talk about it for a second. You've dumped a few chicks in your day. You've usually dumped them because, A, you're done. You're just done with them. And I don't mean that in a horrible way. It's just you had your sex, you had your fun, you did whatever, you were done. Oftentimes, somebody better came along. Sometimes you were just finished with them. And then there's a third part of they got weird, they did something stupid,
right.
they screwed one of your buddies. There's that kind of stuff.
Or, yeah.
And then there's this one, and there's the one where you're with them for 8 months. You don't even know why. Right. Like, somehow you hooked up. You had sex. You felt bad. You had nothing going on at the time. Whatever. But when you move on as a guy, you're pretty much done.
It's time to ramble.
It's rambling time.
It's rambling.
Well, if you're a rambling man.
Even if you're not, you're rambling.
I'm a rambling
That's
man.
That's what all men become rambling.
Engineer Chris, rambling man. Like, he's got to ramble to his mom's house.
That's where he rambles.
He rambles to his
of course.
Mom's house.
Wait, he doesn't say where you ramble. He just ramble.
Yeah, and then tomorrow comes.
Well,
I was going to say not sun up, but somewhere around noon.
Rambles back to his mom's house.
No, he's rambling to junior college.
Oh, junior college.
That's all right. I'm used to it. Whatever.
He's rambles and then he rambles over to Starbucks and he gets some coffee from his brother and then he rambles back home again to watch Jenny Jones.
That's all right. I'm used to it. Whatever.
Yeah, he's a rambling man. The point is it's when it's time to ramble, it's time to ramble. Can't argue. Myself, rambling, gambling man.
Oh,
I gamble while I ramble.
But guys, I think guys have a little bit of shame. They're ducking out. They feel bad. They might have hurt somebody. Because they're really not interested in a relationship of any type at that point, right?
When a girl dumps a guy, there's unfinished business.
Yeah.
You become like a champion who lost a fight. You want to go back and clean. You know that's what happens. Great, but the guy's 43-1. He wants that guy who beat him.
Yeah,
it's vindication.
Yeah,
it's history.
Unless the guy was just being an a-hole to try to get out of it, kind of thing, and she broke it off.
Brittany.
Yeah.
He may be a rambling man.
Great. Well. According to whoever I talked to when I first called, I guess I have trusting issues. But the only thing that started that was we started talking like a year ago, and we used to have phone sex like every night, and I didn't even know he had a girlfriend.
Oh, and he was with he was having phone sex.
And I kind of confronted him about it, but he's like, "Well, that's not the same thing. We weren't really doing anything."
Yeah, guys that cheat.
This guy's not to be trusted.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. So I'm not completely paranoid or anything.
No.
But he's like,
if you're having phone sex with a guy while he was in the midst of another relationship,
yeah.
that's a form of cheating.
And by the way, the guy that acts out in such a way as to get dumped by a girlfriend is a guy that has to go back. Can't believe he was dumped.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
And why does he need to hang out with her?
Well, he said that they were friends for a long time before they started going out, and she was like his best friend.
Is that true? No way.
And it all started because she wanted him to help her move, and, you know, she supposedly had nobody else to help, and
okay.
He knows the whole family, and they're like, oh, could you help her?
All right,
and I told him I didn't like it, but he still did it.
Okay, here's the thing. If a guy is really into a girl, and the girl says, look, maybe you guys are friends. Maybe you're old friends. Maybe you're going over there moving some boxes. Maybe there's nothing going on. But you know what? It makes me really uncomfortable.
Right.
And if you want to keep things copacetic with me,
you'll stop doing that. You can't do that.
Okay.
I understand you got roped into once, but that's it.
The guy who's really into the chick knocks it off.
Right away.
Yeah. Whatever her request is short of no exhaling, only inhale. Yeah, he'll try. any normal request for a guy who's really into a chick, any reasonable request, and especially it involves like seeing other girls or other girls, it's like, okay, they won't do it. If he says, listen, baby, don't worry about it, then he ain't that into the relationship, and it's time to move on anyway.
I think so.
All right. So, Chief Thundercloud, Rambling Bear. Should I bring him in?
Bring him in, please. It's time. I think I got a couple calls for him, maybe. Chief.
He's out in the
please,
hall.
Please, come on in.
Let me go. Yeah. Drew, you work as a translator?
Yeah, I'll get him.
All right, give him a sec. Yeah, hey.
One second. Oh, yeah. Thanks,
your
Chief.
Bring,
come right in here. Chris, you know what to do.
Yeah, now, hey.
He's not going to repeat himself this time. Why are you smiling like that? He wants to know why you're smiling. You better give him an explanation. Stop. Knock it off. Chief, we have a call. He's blessing the studio. Even you, Chris.
Yes.
And this now, Chief, is Margie, who's 18.
Yeah, hey.
Hi, Margie.
Hi, Mom. Hi.
Yeah, and Love Line.
Welcome to Love Line. What can I do for you? I'm translating for the chief, you understand.
Okay. When I have sex with my boyfriend, sometimes it'll like slip out and there's white stuff around his penis.
Yes, yeah, check him, but no.
White stuff on the penis? Have you ever tasted it?
No.
Chief,
you have to kind of go slower for me.
Yeah, check it. One, you know,
why would you?
I beg your pardon, Jim.
Does the white stuff come out without his penis being in? You have ever noticed that discharge before?
No, it's, I don't think it's from him because it's like kind of around the base of his penis.
Hold on. Stop. Have you had a pelvic exam?
No, I have not.
How come? You're sexually active. For goodness sakes, you could get cancer. It's infectious diseases.
I just started having sex with him like about 3 weeks ago. And he was my first 3 weeks ago?
That's good.
He's my my first sexual partner.
Of course, you said that.
I'd never done anything with anyone before, and he's
except for oral sex, I guess. According to the chief, he believes it was oral sex at one time, at least. Well, that's just in this country, chief. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That could be yeast, right? Verity yeast infection?
No, I don't know what would be like other symptoms, cuz I don't like there's no smell or anything.
Think yeast smells.
No.
Just a little vaginal irritation. A little vaginal irritation usually.
Okay.
Okay, it may also be normal discharge, but chief.
Yeah, what? You're
18 years old. You're sexually active. It's time to get regular pelvic exam to find out exactly what this is. It's probably normal, but of course, now that you're sexually active, it's very important to take care of your reproductive health.
Okay.
And coffee, please. Right now.
Yeah. Hey.
Don't stop smiling, Chris. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Margie.
Yeah, hey.
And this now is Chief. This is Jennifer. This is 25. Let me Jennifer.
Yeah, hey, chicken. One, yeah, Love Line.
Welcome to Love Line, Chief.
Thanks.
Thundercloud welcomes you and blesses you.
I weirded out the guy that answered the phone with this question, but I started dating someone about a couple months, 4 or 5 months ago, and about 2 months ago, we just finished having sex. Everything was great, fine. He started getting he started wanting to fool around again, and I decided to go down on him for the first time. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but we were taking it really slow.
First time for him.
No.
Yeah, of course. I see.
So I went down on him, and when he came, it was really, really liquidy. I mean, almost like water.
Thundercloud, relax. What's this world coming to? He has to say some prayers. He's praying now for his stomach to make sure he doesn't vomit during your call. And he's praying for your vagina, too, it sounds like. So, okay. Because he wants to keep it pristine, you're keeping it going slow. And you don't have to pray for her mouth, Chief. No, it's fine. It's fine. Keep praying for your stomach. We don't want you to
swear. This is a general sense. This is a real concern, because actually I haven't gone back over to see him much since, because I wasn't sure if maybe he peed on me or if he actually came.
What?
That's my problem.
What?
Can
he pee in your mouth?
I know.
How can he pee in your mouth?
In my mouth, it was everywhere. I've never experienced anything like this in my entire life. It didn't smell. It didn't taste. It was so liquidy, and there's so much. I was like in shock.
What?
And I don't know what it. That's why I'm calling, because I don't know what it is or what it was.
Well, it's hot.
And you've had lots of experience with many male in the past.
I've had three boyfriends, but I've seen enough. I've never, that's why I'm asking. I've never experienced anything like this. And no, I haven't been with a lot of people, but that, I mean, you don't even see that in the movies. I've never, I was like taken back for a second. I was like,
well, what?
What do you mean you've never seen it in the movie before? She was outraged.
Next to me, and then like another big squirt came out. I was like, what was that?
And
Did he think I'm really good? No.
Chief does not believe that. He wonders. First of all, he wonders with you talking so much how it is that this was even possible. But
I can't hear anything because he's talking like that.
You can't understand anything because of the chief. Oh, he's outraged.
Didn't it?
I'm sorry.
No, what?
Jennifer, relax.
We put you on hold.
Chief, relax. I beg your pardon. Chris? I know. I apologize for our callers. I know. After all the white men has put your people through, I know. This outrage. I know. I'm so sorry. Please. Don't curse the studio. Please do not curse the studio. Just Chris. Yes, Chris is okay. You can curse him, but please don't curse the studio. I beg you. I know. It's very, very disrespectful.
That's good.
Very disrespectful. Yeah. Okay. So, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys can't urinate when they have an erection.
They can't. I didn't
know. Oh, yes, Adam, you can.
That's not urine, Chief. That's semen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you're a gynecologist, not a urologist. No kidding. What's that?
It could be that thin. I just never realized.
It can be very thin. It can be very voluminous for some guys. And it's not, but you being good or bad, it's just, that's just him.
Yeah.
That Chief's concurs.
Yes, you can. Okay.
Hold on. Chief says, it takes all kinds.
It takes all kinds.
Hey, Drew, not to confuse things anymore, but I pee with a boner every morning, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but not with the high levels of arousal like that when they're about to orgasm and then all of a sudden you urinate. Chief, that was it's not a spirit. He's not in the sky. Engineer Anderson is at another studio. No, it's not Chris. It's not Chris. It is another gentleman who runs a board like this. Mm. It's not the great one, the great spirit. No, it's not. You may have to appeal to the great spirit to get coffee in this studio. Yeah, that's true.
Yes, I understand.
Chief, it's time for us to do something called take a break. Mm-hmm. I apologize for the impertinence of our callers and the engineer that should interfere and frighten you like that.
We appreciate
your wisdom. We appreciate it. And we'll see you again soon. Thank you. And Chris, get the coffee.
I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Got to get back to the phones because, Drew, let me tell you the star of the show is.
The callers.
No, it's me.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, we got to hear you talk some more.
Everyone listen to me.
You missed that whole thing with the thundercloud, Chief.
I was out taking a leak. How was he?
He's good.
I saw him in the hall. He seemed angry.
He got pissed off, yeah.
He wanted coffee.
He wanted coffee, and he the callers made him angry. It's kind of the way you react to the callers.
He wanted me to water and brush his horse. I told him that's intern action. You know,
it's get Chris. Chris, he wanted.
Well,
Chris.
I said get a van driver to do it. I'm not doing that. Yeah. He wanted water saddled. You know, he rides bareback. I think actually, yeah. It's just one of those.
Pinto
rides on a Pinto with a towel on it. Yeah. Well, it's not a towel.
Blanket.
It's a blanket. Bree.
Yes.
19?
Yes.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. A sex therapist who enjoys jogging naked lost a legal challenge against a fine for his hobby on Friday.
A regional court lost a legal challenge. For what? For his hobby, I see.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
His hobby is jogging naked.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Regional Court of Appeal upheld a lower court conviction for public indecency against the doctor, a 55-year-old psychologist who police have reportedly arrested near his home for jogging in the nude. The doctor, who wears only running shoes and socks, has argued in the court there is no law specifically banning his hobby, but to no avail. The court does not support the defendant's view that running naked in public is one of his civil rights, the court said in its ruling on Friday.
Mm-hmm. I was initially thinking Germany.
Yeah.
But then they have the lower court and civil rights and court of appeals.
Here's the deal, though. In this country, there are indecency laws, and it would be indecent. A. B. Evidence of impairment by a medical caretaker is immediate grounds for action.
Well, it's a psychologist.
Still, they would be scrutinized.
Listen, my dad's a psychologist. Anybody could be a psychologist.
He would be scrutinized, though, if he went around naked. So in this country, I can't imagine anyone would get away with that in this country. Can't imagine it.
All the court talk sounded very American.
Yeah, the court talk sounded American.
But the activity sounded German.
Right.
And my initial thought was German, so I'm going Germany.
All right. Germany.
Brie?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Wait and just see.
We're going Germany.
Germany?
Yeah.
It's Germany.
Yeah.
Yes.
Berlin. All right.
And
all right.
Physicians or any kind of caretaker.
Thank you, Brie. That was a good one. I think we lost the first behavior. We lost the first round.
Yeah.
With the German or Florida, did we not?
Yeah.
It was earlier today.
I thought I'd heard about it in Florida.
You had heard the story. Yeah. And by the way, here's how the human brain works, unfortunately. You going, oh, I heard this story 3 weeks ago, actually screws you up more.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, yeah, I did hear the story. Which was it, Germany or Florida?
Right.
Then you start out thinking yourself, and you actually have a lesser chance than the coin toss.
Right, because you're right.
Right. Okay, let's talk to...
You don't think it through as objectively.
Let's talk to Nikki. Nikki?
Yes.
17?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, all right. I'm dating a 20-year-old. We've been together for about 6 months, and he's pretty much got a fairly large penis, and I'm a very, very small girl, and it's very painful, and I pretty much we do it every day and just try to see what else we can do to just get it to just be enjoyable, and nothing seems to work. Lubricant, it just, my body rejects it, and I don't know what I can do, you know?
What do you mean your body rejects it? What does that mean?
Well, I don't know what it is. It's almost like it doesn't like it. I get like a stinging. It just, my body doesn't like it. It
doesn't
agree
like
with it.
Lubricant.
Yes.
Have you tried different lubricants?
What's that?
Have you tried different ones?
Yes, we've tried different ones. We've tried KY warming liquid. We've tried like Aqua Lube. We've tried a bunch of different ones.
And it stings. So
how big's your boyfriend?
Well, he's probably about 9 long, and then he's pretty thick.
Girthy.
Girthy, definitely girthy.
Can you get your hand around it?
Yeah, I can get my hand around it.
Oh, right.
He's not like freakishly large to like probably a normal size person, and I've had a decent amount of sex, and so I don't understand. I don't seem to ever widen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well... Let's figure this out. Do you guys wear a condom?
Yeah, we've tried it without a condom. We tried with a condom. It doesn't matter. With the condom,
And the pain is sort of after penetration, right?
Well, it's hard to get it in there, first of all. With lube, it goes in, but it feels... It's not even like a pain. Sometimes it's a pain, but it's just like it feels like it shouldn't be in there, and it feels like it's almost ripping me. It just doesn't feel right.
You can rip. I mean, that happens.
I know, but... It would be nice if I just would, you know, because maybe it would be better after that.
No, it wouldn't. This may be just one of those anatomical mismatches. There's such a thing.
Now, the lube beside your body not really being into it, and it's inert. I don't know.
Well, maybe she's so irritated from all the action.
Maybe that is. Yeah. The lube certainly got to be a help. Also, the condom is really going to add more friction.
Yeah.
And marginal width to the whole thing. So, Yeah.
But I mean, maybe you want to give things a little rest for a week or so and then try again with a lubricant.
See, we've tried that too. Honestly, yeah. I think we've tried everything in the book.
Yeah, it's maybe one of those things.
Well, you're gonna have to. Yeah, you.
Have you tried?
No, what I do is put the penis in and then inflate it. That's my move, Drew.
Yeah,
stuff and inflate.
I stuff it in there. Okay. I use a back scratch. I use one of those. Actually, you know, remember the shoe horns, the extendo shoe horns
with
the horse's head on it, bamboo.
Yeah.
I use that
to shove it in.
Yeah, I. Somebody invented
it. Used to inflate it.
Somebody invented a shoehorn in like
1955
that was a shoehorn that had about 18 inches of bamboo and then a horse's head on top of it.
That became the universal shoehorn.
Sold 700 billion units of it.
Well, all other shoehorns on a stick were outlawed. That's the universal shoehorn.
It's the only one I ever saw that had a stick on it. It had a horse's head on it. I'm not sure what the horse and the
shoe. And why bamboo? Why not the smooth wood?
That didn't exist. There was one of them. That was it. All right. So, Nikki,
yeah.
This could be a problem. So, here's what you need to do, we think. You need to find a position that's most suitable for you, where you can really control the action.
Don't go for deep penetration.
Don't
maybe
go for
partial
deep
penetration.
Right.
Lubricants.
I would keep experimenting with lubricants
after some pelvic rest.
After and understand that this may be a hurdle that you kids may not be able to overcome.
Not for what you're looking for. Deal breaker, as they say.
Right. All right. We'll,
but as Chief Running Thundercloud says, it takes all kinds.
It absolutely does. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, y'all.
Good times.
We'll take ourselves a little extendo break.
You're going to be an extendo break.
Well. With any luck, I'll be in.
We'll have some fillers in here for you tomorrow.
Well, here's the thing. Oh, who knows? I got to get surgery tomorrow. If I was getting surgery at 8 a.m., I'd have a better chance of making it in here. I'm not going to make it home from surgery until 6 in the evening, so that might be tough. But if I can get in, I'll get in.
I'd
try. I got a little something called grit. And you know what?
Grit your ass into bed.
I love the listeners to this show.
I know.
And, I'd do anything for them.
I know.
We'll take a little break. Maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Maybe I won't. And so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Nene.
Ooh.
Hey.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.